It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, barhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse, that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, boppers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and we have a blog, which someday we'll update at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is a man who can air drum and Fender Rhodes at the same time. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
It's just a good way to start the show. For those who don't know, we obviously this is music from the film The Warriors, and we warm up. We stretch. We don't want to have Tommy John surgery before the show. But no, we stretch up, and it's a good time. So anyway, good to have you here, because it is a very important week. It is the most important week in movies.
Avengers! Avengers!
Now... Kobe is making film audiences sound like 98% of college men.
Stoked for the Avengers.
We talked about how, yes, it is the most important movie ever made this week. Finally opening. This is the period, remember we talked about the period after the Academy Awards and we're waiting for...
And before the Avengers.
And before the Avengers. Kind of a dark period. A couple of good films. But apparently now the summer blockbuster season has started in May. May 1st to be exact.
Yep.
And yes, we have the Avengers Age of Ultron in theater in 3D, not needed in 3D. And I'll get to that in a bit. So, the other reason why this is the most important movie week this week, because next week, May 6th.
El 6 de Mayo.
Is that a holiday?
No.
No?
Actually.
You should have Dos Equis on the 6th.
Trivia.
Yes?
That is an album name. Who did the album? Seis de Mayo.
I have no idea. Is it somebody I would listen to? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Well, then why would I? Okay, I give up. Who released an album with that name?
Trey Anastasio.
Yeah, not quite my cup of tea or rolling papers.
Me
so
either.
That's all right. But May 6th, in theaters nationwide, have to go to Fathom Events or Riff Tracks website to find out where it will be seen in your local theater. But Riff Tracks are doing a live treatment of The Room, which means, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm playing my chat with Tommy Wiseau in the second half of the show. But we'll get to that. That's a very important piece of movie news. But now, yes, the most important movie this week, I don't think there's anything else opening up against The Avengers, and really, why would you?
I don't know.
See, that's... Although there is one, I think it's happening in a couple of weeks, where opening the same day, because I know the press screening the same night, but the new Mad Max and Pitch Perfect 2...
Oh, yeah.
Now, I should probably be a smart campaign because, you know, a lot of the dudes will be going to Mad Max and a lot of the ladies who will be dragging some of their dudes to Pitch Perfect 2. But you have two niche audiences right there. But anyway, nobody's going to go up against Avengers Age of Ultron. Kobe, do we have the trailer? We have not done this in a while.
We do have it.
We not only are we going to play a trailer, but Kobe's going to break it
down.
We'll
break it down
here. Let's break it down for you.
This vulnerable world.
In a world
need something more powerful than any of us.
Foundation
Everyone
of the movie.
Creates the thing they dread.
Plot twist.
In the flesh. No matter who wins or loses.
Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson.
Always comes around. You meddled with something you don't understand.
Catchphrase.
We have no place in the world.
More heavy music.
Robot things.
Soft instruments, heavily orchestrated over big action stuff.
Yep.
I'm gonna tear you apart from the inside.
What the heck was that?
Oh boy.
Which is great for a radio show.
Yeah.
Action fights.
Yeah, kind of soft, not necessarily droning symphonic music.
Not Hans Zimmer.
Juxtaposed over intense action superhero sequences and explosions.
The score
and crashes.
The score for the film is done by Danny Elfman, not Hans Zimmer. So yes, all the Avengers are here. We have a couple of new characters. Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen get into the fracas, but not fracking. And Tony Stark and Dr. Banner, they're able to get Loki's sword thing back. They're jeweled the sword, whatever the thing Loki had, and they're able to take Loki things, and they're able to they wind up creating their own Ultron, voiced by James Spader, might I add, and of course Ultron winds up getting a mind of its own, and of course that's the big villain. So a lot of it is the setup for the big fights that are obviously in the second half of the film. The film is about 2 hours and 20 minutes or so. It's written and directed by Joss Whedon, and Joss alone, not the screenplay with five credits on screen and the team of writers that worked on it afterwards. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It doesn't feel like it.
Really,
because part of it was it's a good balance of action sequences, of action things, and character things.
Oh.
There's a lot of two people scenes in this film, and so we get to see more relationships between Banner and Stark, and yes, Banner and Black Widow, and now we know why Jeremy Renner become a part of this series, because he has some really nice moments in this film. I don't want to give it away too much. So they were able to, there are alliances and there's disagreements between the amongst the Avengers, and that is shown. So it doesn't feel like a stepping stone film. There's going to be another one, of course. And yes, there is a nugget during the closing credits. Stick around for it. It's actually early on, but you should watch all the credits. But it's a good balance of action and character. And which is satisfying for me. Is it perfect? No.
It's flawed.
I knew you were going to say this. For a couple reasons. Well, one, I still want to see the action sequences. I mean, there's a lot of fast editing. And I think when you have characters as powerful as Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Captain America, I want to see the fights. I want to see I want to see Hulk smash, and I want to see the Shield running around flying around beating. Shield doesn't have legs. That would be ridiculous. So, yeah. So I mean, a little longer action sequences longer takes is what I'm. And I sound like an old person because I don't like your fast editing, your MTV style shooting of action scenes. Not needed in 3D. At all. In fact, I think it was filmed in regular and then they kind of tagged the 3D on top. Mm. So I think I just saved you a
few
extra
bucks.
That
makes for not good 3D.
That is correct. And really not necessary. This is not the 3D film of the year. I have not come across the 3D film of the year. Previous winners include Cave of Forgotten Dreams by Werner Herzog and Martin Scorsese's Hugo. This is not one of them.
I've still not seen a movie in 3D.
Really?
Yep.
At all?
Nope.
Not even Avatar?
Mm-mm.
Do you get headaches?
No, I didn't even see Avatar in theater.
That's really okay.
No, I don't think I get headaches.
You just don't want to?
I just never have.
So, all right, well.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of bad press around 3D, too, because it looks dark and it doesn't look good and it's not necessary.
That is true. So I would say if it's at an IMAX in 3D, that might be worth checking out. Or if it's a filmmaker that actually knows how to work with 3D, that might be one. I'll let you know.
Okay.
But I think, like, the titles I've already mentioned, but, you know, you can't see those in theaters. Unless they bring them back to IMAX, which I'm all for, of course. But we'll keep you posted on that. But no, it's a very satisfying film. Not perfect, but very satisfying. Really.
Now that was a good movie.
Now I bring this up because this happened Monday at a certain theater. And it's a theater that we, the doughy white guys known as the IFJA, the Indiana Film Journalists Association, we like to go to this theater. It's a nice theater. It's geographically sound for all of it, for most of us as far as traveling. Well, when, you know, as far as
when you're looking at theaters, you got your geographically sound theaters and you're not geographically sound.
Well, there's some that are a little further off the beaten path that you have to go to, and this one works for us. However, Monday night screening, they had to restart the film twice because the 3D wasn't ready. So that's the other part is I don't need to see this film in 3D. 99.9% of the films that are in 3D, I don't need them in 3D. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they had to restart the film twice, and this is the fault of the projectionist. This is not the studio's fault. That's the other thing is you know, people were griping. It's not Marvel Studios' fault. It's the person running the projector.
Right.
So, and I think some people don't realize that. I remember I went to a screening of the remake of The Omen, which really wasn't necessary, by the way. But there's the scene where, and it's the fault of the projectionist, not the filmmaker, where you can see the boom mic. It's not lined up correctly in the projection booth. So anyway, the fact that they had to start, it already made a long evening longer. But I really wanted to see The Avengers because the last time this theater had problems like this was the second Thor film and I walked out. I decided to review something else because I thought my time was a little more important than somebody not doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I'm off my high horse. But anyway, you can go check out The Avengers, the most important movie this week that's not the Riff Trax's treatment of The Room. So we're going to move on a little. Yeah, we'll take a short break. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
There's other stuff going on.
We're kind of all over the map.
You can see The Avengers, but you don't necessarily have to see The Avengers.
See, he's setting up. So, for instance, Kobe, you could head down to your alma mater.
That's right, you could.
Where there's lots of Orson Welles things happening.
There is. It's a centennial celebration and symposium of Orson Welles tonight at 8 o'clock. A panel discussion of The Other Side of the Wind.
Very cool.
Tomorrow, Saturday at 3 o'clock, we have Wellesiana.
It's a state of mind.
Rare Wells footage. Touch of Evil from 1958
Great
at 7
film.
O'clock.
Great film.
And The Trial from 1962 at 9:30.
Good film.
Then Sunday, May 3rd, 1948, Macbeth.
Ooh, I just bought that on Blu-ray.
At 3 o'clock. Yep. And then follow that up at 6:30, Confidential Report and Mr. Arkadine, 1955.
Or Arkadine, if you're from the region.
Yeah.
Cool. Very good.
What's going on at IU Cinema?
And IMA starts up when?
IMA starts up, actually, we have in their Serial Cinema series, this weekend,
Say that
Saturday,
three times fast.
Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to noon, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Did you ever see Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I did.
Like it?
Not
your cup of tea?
No, not really.
I enjoyed Pee Wee Herman, so I enjoyed that. And Tim Burton directed that, of course. So,
yep. And then their Summer Nights film series kicks off June 5th. So
we got some time.
We're about a month away.
We need to work on the group outing, the film sociology family outing to the IMA Cinema. Is your really? Ladies and gentlemen, full disclosure, somebody, we do other things in the studio, and one of those apparently is we have a stopwatch here in studio, which we can't find, and it's going off. You know what? Let's take a short break. And I'll stop the stopwatch and we'll continue with DVD and Blu-ray titles and in my chat with Tommy Wiseau. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
Well, I can do without. I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome.
I love that clip. That's so great.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. Matthew Sosa here hanging out with Kobe Slagle. So, yeah, that last clip, in case you don't know, that's Tyler Hansborough back when he was with the Pacers. Kobe, give the background story on that because they invaded Channel 13,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, Channel 13 had a, I don't know what you would call it. Take your basketball team to work day. And
whatever that is.
Yeah, and all the Pacers players that year, that was from 2013, all the Pacers players had roles to play in the newscast. There was somebody running a prompter. There was somebody working a camera. There was, you know, a writer and all this. And Tyler Hansborough, of the entire team, Tyler Hansborough is the one that they picked, or maybe he volunteered, I don't know, anchor.
I don't think he volunteered.
And he was reviewing a sport, some sports play. Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Yeah, and so with that in mind, sometime please go to YouTube and find Tyler Hansborough reads Chicken Little, and you'll know why this is funny as hell. So, yes, we are back. Yes, it is important movie week because the Avengers Age of Ultron is in theaters. Nice. And by the way, James Spader has a lot of fun with the voice of Ultron. It's very cool. We'll get to our chat with Tommy Wiseau, our classic radio gold with Tommy Wiseau, in a little bit.
We got the drive-ins, too.
We do have the drive-ins. Just a reminder, Riff Tracks is showing The Room Wednesday, May 6th, and a repeat on May 12th. So you have to go to Fathom Movie Events as well as rifftracks.com for local theaters and locations. Yes, what's happening at the drive-ins?
At the Tibbs, Screen 1, Avengers, naturally.
Yes.
Followed up by Cinderella.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Take the young, hopefully the young ones waiting to see Cinderella. First off, you're showing Cinderella second, so you're probably not bringing the little ones, and hopefully the Avengers won't freak them out too much.
Screen 2, Paul Blart 2.
Oh, God.
Followed by Get Hard.
Yeah, that's a duo, isn't it?
Okay.
really? The thing is going off again? Hold on, keep going.
Okay, Screen 3, we got Furious 7, followed by Unfriended. No, study in contrast there. And then Screen 4, we have Age of Adeline and The Longest Ride.
That's for Bianca.
Mm-hmm. She wants to see Age of Adeline.
Did you tell her my review of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if things get really bad, I'll take her.
If things get bad.
If things get bad, like, oh, honey, the draft is happening. Our imaginary sitcom. Honey, I have a free evening. Let's go to Age of Adeline. But the first draft.
Who's going
to
be the all-important 29th pick?
That's what she says to you.
Yeah.
Well, honey, I want to see if my chart matches the chart or Mel Kiper's chart. Right now, I'm like 6 out of 7. I got a streak going.
Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good about things. Like how things are shaping up here.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good season.
I want to see who the Colts aren't picking. Yeah. So anyway, so that's at the Tibbs. What's happening at in Shelbyville?
In Shelbyville, let me go back to it here. In Shelbyville, we have the at the Skyline drive-in. Avengers, Cinderella, and Double Possession.
Yeah, that'll be late Saturday night. That is not on Friday.
1:15.
What they like to do is they like to show an old school drive-in movie, usually inexpensive and it's from it's from the 70s, and it's usually a horror or exploitation film of some kind. And it's only late Saturday night. That's cool.
Yeah, that is 1:15 a.m.
Boy, that's a late night, but that might be worth it. So that's the other one. We have to have the film sociology family trip to the drive-in.
Have you seen Double Possession?
I have not. I know Bill Gunn is in it.
From 1973, after being stabbed with an ancient German-fested knife, a doctor's assistant finds himself with an insatiable desire for blood. Dwayne Jones, Marlene Clark, and Bill Gunn.
We should check that out. You will not see it.
I will not.
You will not.
I will not.
I will. Maybe not that Saturday night, but I would love to check that out. So anyway, there's lots going on as far as movies around around Central Indiana. Okay, we're going to get to DVD and Blu-ray now. Probably the big title on Blu-ray this week, and it's going to be one of the most misunderstood films, but it's Paul Thomas Anderson's treatment of the story of Inherent Vice with Joaquin Phoenix as a 70s stoner detective out on a job. This was one that people either really liked or they really didn't get. And there's been a lot of comparisons to The Big Lebowski with this because of the detective being a major druggie or hippie, as he's called, even though Ed Johnsonot has squashed the idea of the term hippie. Read his review online. It's a lot of fun. But it is... It is similar in tone as far as don't just go in and experience it. Don't expect the beginning, middle, and end. Spend time if you want to spend time with these characters. Josh Brolin's very good in it. Martin Short is actually very funny in this. There's a lot of small bit roles, including Maya Rudolph, and it follows the detective genre, the detective storyline, a little more close than say The Big Lebowski, where the dude is kind of dropped into a detective situation. This one is following a lot of the rules of the detective genre for 40s. So take that for what it's worth. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray this week is The Gambler, which is a remake, not the Kenny Rogers tune, the James Caan film from the 70s, this starring Mark Wahlberg. He plays an associate professor and an author of English with a major gambling problem. So much for it, he's trying to get money from his mother, played by Jessica Lange. He's getting money from Peter Payoff Paul, and both of them want to break his legs. It's one of those stories. John Goodman has a couple of really nice scenes. This guy who's going to give Wahlberg the option for some money, but he's not going to treat it like a gentleman. Like,
does anybody not like John Goodman?
I don't know.
I feel like it would be very difficult to dislike
him. I think so. And he's got a really, if you look at his IMDb page, from Big Lebowski, he's worked with Scorsese a couple of times. He's done many films with the Coen brothers. And even if you didn't like Roseanne, the series, or The Lady, you like Dan. You like Goodman. So Goodman's got a good track record.
He was in The Artist.
Yes, he was in The Artist. He was the movie mogul.
Yep.
So anyway, that's out there. And then a film that I really enjoyed. I just watched it last night. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's just ridiculous. Thanks. But the film of Paddington, which is based on a series of children's books about a little bear from Peru that winds up living with a family in London. I have a special spot in my heart for Paddington because as a kid, in the early stages of Nickelodeon, there was a show called Pinwheel, and they would show short movies, short animated movies, and one of the shorts was a series of cartoons of Paddington, which led me to reading the books, and I really enjoy it. And so we have this bear, voiced by Ben Whishaw, young Q from Skyfall.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
And, yeah, he was Ariel and Julie Taymor's The Tempest, and he's a lot of stuff. And, yeah, a bear who's sent off by his aunt and uncle from Peru to London. And so there's the kind of bear out of water story of being in a different another country. Get it? See what I did there? Yeah. And then family shenanigans. Of course, the dad doesn't want anything to do with the bear, but the mom, played by Sally Hawkins, who's very nice in this.
Various bear chicanery.
Bear chicanery does happen in a red hat and a blue coat. And so he starts the bond with the family. Julie Walters is in this. Yes, Ron Weasley's mom is the housekeeper or the elder statesman of the family. Peter Capaldi shows up. Nicole Kidman shows up in this. The voices of Imelda Staunton and Michael Gambon. It's a lot of fun. It's not perfect. It's flawed. The same reason. Why the film version of Madeline, which I really really enjoyed with Frances McDormand and Nigel Hawthorne. Nicole Kidman's character, so it would have been, it plays a woman that wants to kidnap Paddington and take him to the taxidermy studio to stuff him. And there's this whole kidnapping plot that really plagues the last third of the film. And it's not really needed. And I think just like there was a kidnapping plot in Madeline, not really needed. You have several books on this character. And I think if you'd have just done more of a flow of those series of books, you don't need a kidnapping plot in Winnie the Pooh. You don't need a kidnapping plot in Curious George. You don't. And they didn't. So that was the only issue. It's kind of a major quibble, but I still enjoyed the film. But not really needed. And by the way, Peter Capaldi plays the nosy neighbor, and this is another thing that I don't need to see anymore, but he gets seduced by Nicole Kidman to help out with keeping an eye on Paddington. And the first time he sees her, Lionel Richie's Hello plays. Get it? Because she's pretty, and he's, yeah. So anyway, it's fun for the kids. It's fun for the – it's very British as well. So I think they're even pitching it as from the producers of the Harry Potter series.
Oh.
So the people who got the money, let's see that. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. Also out is on DVD and Blu-ray, The Wedding Ringer, which is Kevin Hart's sixth film in the last 7 months. And this is one, of course, where Olaf is married to Penny. Way to go. And I recommend having at least several cocktails at home safely before you rent The Boy Next Door, which is just get drunk and watch. Kind of fun bad. Yeah, have a driver and go check this out. It wants to be an erotic thriller from the 90s like Guilty of Sin or Never Talk to Strangers. It's not. It's really bad. But have a few drinks. It'll be slightly better. Old titles. We have, because of the new Mad Max film coming out, you can get the Mad Max trilogy, Mad Max, Road Warrior, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And because Taken 3 is
Mad Max in the Big City.
That's right. Hey, actually, I got that. I'm going to get to that in a second. And then the Taken 3 trilogy, if you need that. Speaking of it, Andrew Lesney, famed cinematographer, died this week at the age of 59. He won an Academy Award in 2001 for Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and was known for Babe and Babe, Pig in the City.
See what I did there? I didn't even know what I was doing.
He did the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the Hobbit trilogy, King Kong, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I Am Legend, and Russell Crowe's Water Diviner, which just opened last week. And a big shout-out and salute to actress Jane Meadows, yes, Audrey Meadows' sister. She died this week. Besides being known as Steve Allen's wife, did films like David and Bathsheba, The Fat Man, The Luck of the Irish, Song of the Thin Man, College Confidential, It Happened to Jane, Norman, Is That You, and much, much more. All right, ladies and gentlemen, May 6th, in theater, select theaters, go to Fathom Events or go to RiffTracks.com. You can see the RiffTracks treatment of The Room, which is a great excuse for me to play my classic chat with Tommy Wiseau. Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Moss? You?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, you know, I used to want to sing, believe it or not. And some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film has always was in my heart, you know, was in the sense and always would be, you know, because image, you know, people remember, et cetera. Through all these years, I studied psychology, and this relates to, you know, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have the time, but just to briefly to tell you, my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class, and I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors, and a lot of people ask me why you use these colors. Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the I wanted people to provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, you know, it is what it is. It's very difficult art. What you make a big effort, and it's, I always say, you have to be detail oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about The Room, about production, etc. online. And hopefully, people are in a few days they will ask me direct question if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I would say to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And the fact that you know, not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that, not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to The Room, supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it would be boring, but just really very quickly background of The Room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600-page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I say, we don't have too much time, but very quickly, see, people don't realize this, nothing happened by accident, you know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as the director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, that's lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if I don't care if you do 5 minutes movie or feature movie, guess what? Irony of the story is, for all of you guys to listen now, right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money, or you make it, you know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. But the Room is based on the 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised. And I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed, in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support. And, you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what? I just accept whatever people, you know, have comments about the Room. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talk and from the Room, you see, you don't have to write like the Room. And I want to stress that, because a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, you have – no, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what the Room is. And I think maybe that's the reason – I didn't conclude 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is – that people are, we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which I don't even ask me for a name, I may drop a couple of names. Maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. You know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on. Next question.
Will is the book published or will it be published?
No. Right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher, very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publisher company. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them. You know, again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto. You know,
okay. Yes.
I was beat up. You know, people beat me up many times. But true fans of the Room, like in your school, you know, I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know.
We're
ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on, next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for the Room begin? Hopefully, it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. the fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues. Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and actually I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this,
mm-hmm.
and this is just statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the Room in America midnight, so I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not, but I say to you, yes, it does eliminate and directly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have. And I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country. You guys give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs, you know. We don't have these places anymore. I'm trying from north to south, from south to east, or whatever, name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know, and we don't have this kind of places, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things, and that's the gray area. What I think people should realize about the Room, and I am very strongly about it, And I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
Give you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want you to talk too. Just jump in any time.
Well,
tell me, it's enough now.
Well, say
okay. 10 more minutes. All right, move on. Next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like, I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person.
Mm-hmm.
How far you can go, do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy. It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting it is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, that's tempting to be very close to someone. You know, or you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute. Why should you do when you later on you will regret it?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy it, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say, you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love public, and I always will. The fans, that's priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressure is there, but I like it.
And now, I know right after The Room you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the homeless in America is totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, in since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is, as you know, in America, because of economy. Actually, I'm working on a new movie about relate to economy. And it's related also to indirectly to homelessness. So, again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And, again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media. No, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this, people actually, you know, lay down on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It is very eerie situation, but the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people, and I wish, you know, I don't wish, but I probably would do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good things for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you see, I'm across America, I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. Well, you know, people say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news again is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
what's the status on the house that drips blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They aired it on TV and they put it online. And, they supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project, was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, it was good experience. They could do better, but, you see, it's not me to judge, you know. Some people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
Well, I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call it, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character. Mm-hmm. I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, defined melodrama is based... It's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But I don't know the story again. I will say very openly that I have some friends that they are really melodramatic, if you ask me.
We all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research, okay? Mm-hmm. And I will say, that hopefully we have more discussion like that about with the fans as well, with you guys, with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
Actually, I'd like to have a program, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, So it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next question.
You talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you mean?
As far as are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy, drama, melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, either include The Homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself. However, I'm fond of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or is my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also it's good.
Mm-hmm.
In slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two guys walking, they are close friends, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but you know, some of the stuff, you know, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I would say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire, the Alex, as well. There'll be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle. As well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. I'm working very hard to entertain people. Hopefully people have a groovy time.
I would say, how far is, what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it, you know, whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually will be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes. And The Economy water released before June. At Vampire, I'm working. But at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room. And that'll be before Christmas, as well as I'm working also on the 3D movie as well, 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are, I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35 millimeter print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I don't think so.
as a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, directing is very tough, you see. So again, I have a system of, if you refer to the room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well, that, you know, I'm doing ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in a rehearsal process. In The Room, we have like, 6 months rehearsal before we shot The Room, but I don't know if the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed 4 times. So a lot of actors, there's only 1-2 person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I am very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
but at the same time, not self-centered, let me say that too. My system is pretty straightforward, what I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself, and you watch yourself, and then you try to adjust base what you see, and I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time, but you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So you go based as I am as a director. I say, what is the character saying? What he or she is doing? What's the situation? So it's the last obstacle come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that. Okay, and when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this, they're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors, because any actors could be very, the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors, some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not you have to be popular or. But what you acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting, if I can say good acting. But I try not to divide it good and bad as an actor, because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, again, about the system, so that's basically when I shot The Room, I recorded this VHS tape. And by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find a something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused, and I was confused myself. And people literally say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, you're incorrect. Please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, if I am, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and just analyze, okay, that's what I want. That's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with two or three assistants. In The Room, I have like four different assistants. So I say, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it's very hard work if you refer to directing, acting as well. It's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's, again, you see, I like variety. So we go from Homeless to The Room, from Vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how we sound, how they will listen to your audiences. The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to The Room. It's theneighborssitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well, the characters that we are currently working on. Right now, as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans? Maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year we did some stuff, but we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety, if you ask me. So we have two more questions. I'm sorry I have to go.
Oh, no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one is dealing with, started in S, like a social. I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on. You know about it.
Yes, yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good, yeah. They're very nice people to work and very given, but sometimes we're not on the same page, but I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, one, two, three, four times, yes. And they're a very given person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know, and thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
Problem, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point, WFYI.org. Hope to see you at the Room at Riff Tracks.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.